You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by the MLB.com Shop.
Well, welcome in an off-season edition, MLB.com Extras, the Houston Astros edition. I'm Dave Raymond with Brian McTaggart. And look, B-Tags, busy off-season already. Of course, the big news this week, it's the awards week, and Dallas Keuchel with the Cy Young Award. I mean, he joins Correa with Rookie of the Year. If you would, just kind of your reaction to Keuchel winning the Cy Young.
Well, I don't think it's much of a surprise. I mean, I think he was pretty much the favorite, despite the good year David Price had. And, heck, even David Price said Keuchel should have won. But you just look at the numbers from top to bottom, led the league in win and war, innings pitched and shutouts, won three of the six AL Pitchers of the Month award. They only give out, like I said, six of those. He won half of them, so... He pitched on a team that was in the playoffs. He was their ace, won a big game down the stretch, and went 15-0 at home, and was just really fabulous to watch all year. Won a Gold Glove too, and no surprise, and good for him to become the third Astros Cy Young winner, first in the American League.
And so he will join Carlos Correa, who got the Rookie of the Year, and you know it was close. Voting was close on that one, and I don't know that I disagree with Lindor's candidacy on this one. Correa just seems to have a little bit more, I don't know, cachet to him. But what did you make of the voting on the Rookie of the Year?
Yeah, it was probably a little closer than I thought, actually. Lindor kind of came on late, and he was the name that came on late. But I think what pushed Correa over the top was, number one, he hit third in the lineup for a lot of the season on a playoff team. I mean, He was right there in the middle of that lineup. And as a former number one pick, he had sort of had a scarlet letter on him. I mean, he was under scrutiny and he was a lot of media attention, and everyone expected him to do great things. And here he is hitting third on some big games down the stretch. I mean, you know, Lindor was hitting ninth in the order for a while. So I think Correa just had a lot more on his plate and on his back, and he responded. I mean, the batting average is not there where Lindor's was, but more home runs, a higher OPS. You know, the sabermetricians love Lindor, the defense and all the things he brings, and, you know, all that's very well and good. Terrific defensive player. Correa's no slouch on defense. Yeah, he made some errors, but tall, rangy guy, great arm, made some spectacular plays. So, you know, I think it was the right decision. If Lindor would have won it, I don't think it would have been the end of the world, but I think Correa was the best rookie, considering all he had to deal with and the fact he played in a lot of pressure-filled games down the stretch, hitting third in the lineup of a team that went to the playoffs.
Yeah. Hinch gets second in the Manager of the Year voting. Jeff Bannister of the Rangers wins it. I feel like that's probably about right. Doesn't take away from the great year he had as a first-year manager of this team. But let's talk about now all the work that is about to begin for this team on the field as we get ready for next season. And I think the interesting thing is we can talk about the spots that need addressing and whatnot, but Rasmus accepting the qualifying offer, I thought that was really quite interesting. And there was a larger message, I think, that Rasmus was trying to send.
Well, he was a great fit here in Houston, and he admitted that, and he was very comfortable here, and he played well. And, you know, I thought when they made him the offer, even though no player had ever accepted an offer, I was like, well, I wonder if he could be the first one. I was like, no, you know, the agents are so against it. They want the guys to, you know, it's hard to become a free agent. You got to work hard. And, you know, they want these guys to test the waters. But I was like, you know what, Colby, he really likes it here. And this is a playoff team. And sure enough, he wound up accepting. And, you know, talking to him after he accepted, you know, he said all the things you would expect him to say, that he was comfortable here. And, you know, he loved all the boys, as he called them, and he thinks they can do some special things. He talked about unfinished business. But, yeah, $15.8 million now for Colby Rasmus. I mean, that's a lot of money for a guy who hit .236. But he showed you what he can do down the stretch and in the playoffs when he's got that great, tremendous pull power from the left side of the plate. And now your outfield is set. That was one of their biggest off-season question marks, is what they're going to do in the outfield with that hole in left field. But now that Rasmus is there, you got Rasmus and Carlos Gomez in center, Springer in right, Marisnik, Tucker coming off the bench if they both return. So a huge box checked by the Astros, and they maintain they wanted Colby to come back. You know, if he would have signed with another team, they would have got a draft pick, and we all know they love draft picks. But Jeff Luhnow said pretty firmly that they're glad they have Colby back at $15.8 million. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, it does seem like a significant move for them. If for no other reason, you know, you've got some clarity now, and, you know, the money one way or the other, you know, I'm sure there are a few bucks that can fluctuate in these types of things, but at the end of the day, they have clarity and comfort on that level. And so they can turn their attention to the corner infield spots, right, first and third. And I don't know how you prioritize those. You have quite a few question marks at first base, and yet a lot of depth at first base. But it all seems questionable to me. I don't know. Where do they stand on the first base situation?
Yeah, well, they're going to have to decide, first of all, who they want to bring back, and that's going to be tendering contracts, the arbitration deadline in a couple of weeks. And, you know, Chris Carter is going to be front and center in that. Luis Valbuena is another one. They're both going to make $5, $6 million next year. Do you want to bring both back, just one back, none back? You have John Singleton, of course, still. You signed him to a $10 million contract. He hasn't shown he can hit at the major league level, but he's still in the mix. And you have Jed Lowry, a guy you signed for 3 years to play shortstop and moved over to third, and maybe he can play some first. I don't know. I mean, they have some options there, but they have to decide who they want back or go out and try to get somebody, you know, a veteran maybe that can play first or third or one of each. But, yeah, they do have a lot of internal options, and maybe they decide at the end of the day we're going to stick with what we have. But I think there's going to be some movement there. I mean, I think, you know, I have a hard time believing they'll have the same guys at the corner infields. I think they'll look to upgrade with somebody who's a high on-base guy with some power. I don't know who's out there. If a trade or free agency would be better, but I think that's got to be on their to-do list.
Well, I know a pricey one with whom Luhnow has a little familiarity. You know, David Fries hangs in the balance out in Anaheim. But are they willing? Are they interested? The Astros in, you know, in increasing the spending a whole lot this offseason? Do you see them being active in that way, or is it mostly going to be maneuvering, you know, with bodies?
No, they're gonna increase the payroll. I don't know how much, but even with the arbitration guy, I think they have 9 arbitration guys who could make. They all came back $30 million. That's not more than last year. That'd be their salary total. So I don't know, another $10-11 million for the payroll from last year. And you got Rasmus; he's doubled his salary. That's another $8 million. So the payroll is going to go up just on guys coming back, veteran players coming back. Now Keuchel, his salary is going to go from, you know, just over the minimum, maybe to $7-8 million in arbitration. So they have a lot of money budgeted just to bring back some of the guys they have. But, yeah, I do think they definitely have money to go out and get somebody in free agency. I don't think we're going to see them make the $100 million commitments yet. Even I don't think we'll see a 6-year, $75 million commitment like Brandon Crawford got from the Giants. I don't think they're quite there. But 3 or 4 years, I think they're ready to do that with some of the free agents or a free agent on the market.
Well, you know, the way they made hay last year seemed to me was they really improved that bullpen, and it seemed their focus at the winter meetings. They were in on every big name at the winter meetings. Now, they've already declined the option on Chad Qualls, Tony Sipp, a free agent. Do you see a lot of rebuild going on in that bullpen again this year?
Yeah, I think that's their number one task right now, above everything else, is trying to get another arm. And Jeff Luhnow doesn't like to come out and say closer. He doesn't say they need power arm, but they need a power arm that can close games. They need someone who can miss some bats. We saw that late in the season. We saw that in the playoffs. I mean, Gregerson did a nice job as closer, but maybe you can get Aroldis Chapman and put him in the ninth inning, and all of a sudden you have maybe the best bullpen in baseball. And, you know, they tried to get Chapman at the trade deadline. It fell through. Kimbrel as well, but Kimbrel's already been traded to the Red Sox, so he's off the market. But, yeah, I think we'll see the Astros really involved in almost every major reliever in the offseason, kind of like they were last year. I think if they can get one more guy they can put in the eighth or ninth inning, whether it's a closer or someone to go in the eighth inning and Gregerson returns as closer, that's their number one need right now.
Well, the good news is it gives you plenty to write about and think about on a daily basis, Brian. The offseason, not really such a thing for a guy like you, but we always appreciate it and look forward to keeping tabs on the story as it develops in these coming months.
All right, Dave. Thanks a lot.
All right, man. Take care. Brian McTaggart, MLB.com Extras, the Houston Astros edition.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.